So what I want to go back to is this. We see God sold his only son in expectation of having many sons. For those that are just coming online, we're still talking about sonship now. And you see how important it is to tie in mind renewal to everything you are in the kingdom of God. Everything you will be is tied to your mind renewal. You can't escape that because that's part of our assignment in order to the sonship to be revealed. We must get our minds renewed. And a lot of times we want formulas to try to fix what only the word can do. I can give you a formula. I can tell you step one, step two, step three. But that doesn't fix your issue if inside you are the issue. See, this is not as difficult as we make it seem. Sonship is not a gender. It is not even about necessarily female, male, and all that. It is a position that you are supposed to hold in the kingdom of God. This is why he's calling for sons, because it's a position. Turn to 1 John 3. Let's just pick it up from there. Because I'm going to keep saying this until the Lord releases me from this, because we need to know more about our sonship. Because we have forfeited a lot of the good things God had for us because we're not striving for sonship. We've just been happy being born again. And that's okay to be happy, but you don't want to do nothing else. But you are miserable in your everyday life because sonship is where the fun is. Ooh, Jesus. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, who are you talking about, Jesus? We shall be like him. We're going to be just like Jesus, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that have this expectation inside of him, I know I'm paraphrasing verse 3 according to what the Lord gave me, sets himself aside to be transformed into a son. That requires dedication. Say dedication. See, becoming a son requires dedication and time. Time that most people don't have. You can go talk to almost anybody today, and they are so busy, you wonder if they ever go to sleep. Their lives are so crowded with stuff. I say stuff. Stuff that will yield no fruit to them when it comes to the kingdom of God. It's just extra energy being poured out. When you could spend that same hour you running and chasing something, you could spend that hour praying in the Holy Ghost and get a whole lot of the things done. Why? Because you're building the sun up in you. And God will show you what to do in that situation that you're trying to chase yourself. I've been believing God, and I still am. Because, you know, I the devil stole the building from us, right? Y'all know that, right? And he used people to do it. How many of you know y'all got some enemies? You got some frenemies. Those are the ones you need to watch out for, those that up under your breath all day long. You know what I'm talking about? Make sure they are real friends. Gauge them. Put them through the test. Make sure they're a real friend. Don't just let people in your sacred place any kind of way. But nonetheless, that land and that building belongs to us. Say it belongs to us. And I ain't satisfied until we get it back. Why? The son in me ain't happy with that. Because I know what the devil did. And I ain't happy with it. And I ain't gonna lay down and let him walk over like that. God is preserving it so we can go back. Now, whether you add your effectual measure or not, it's gonna happen. All I'm saying, you need to go ahead and pull on that. Lay hold to the vision. And don't sit back and dump it all on me to believe. It's for your sake too. See, that's what happens when you become a member of most things. You get in and you lay in the cut, and then after a while, you just feel like, well, as long as I'm showing up. But showing up ain't never got much done. I realized that. We had a lot of people to show up and didn't do nothing. You'd be amazed when we were in that building how little people tithed and gave. But they wanted titles. They wanted to teach you. And left because we wouldn't let them. Man, anybody take this office, you better know what you're signing up for. Because you got a war on behalf of people. That's why you can't be a punk. You got to be a son. Remember, it's not about gender. So it's about you setting yourself aside so sonship can be developed. Because right now, you're a son. In the making. Don't get off the wheel. Stay on the wheel. Let the process be finished in you. It's not going to ever stop being finished until Jesus come back. But let him keep developing you. Don't keep shirking and trying to find an easy way out of it. Go ahead and endure this like a soldier. And buckle down and say, you know what? I'm going to study every day. If it ain't but 15 minutes, I'm going to take this word. I'm going to learn something. And I ain't trying to teach everybody. I ain't doing nothing to impress nobody. I'm doing this because I need to learn. That's how you develop sonship. We got too many believers trying to teach other people something they have not perfected in their own life. And then when warfare come against them, they have no shield because they haven't developed that in them. They're teaching the truth. That's where it's so dangerous. They're teaching the truth, but you're following people with no proof. This is the danger of Instagram and YouTube, and you don't get to see behind the scene. All you see is what they put up there. How many of you know they can edit? Make themselves look real good. But when they pushed up against the wall, can they fight and win? That's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of son God looking for. Because right now you are a son. Hallelujah. Say, right now I'm a son. And see, as a son, you're supposed to be ruling and reigning. You ain't supposed to be losing every day. You ain't supposed to get up with losing on your mind. You're supposed to get up with dominating. You dominate. I dominate everything that's in my path that comes my way. I dominate it. And you got to see, that's deliberate. And you might say, well, ain't that putting on? No, it ain't putting on airs. That's speaking faith. And if you don't say it, it never happens. You can't think dominating. You got to speak your domination over situations. They don't change just because you think them. You never change a thought with a thought. You change thoughts with words. Woo. So every son that has this expectation of turning into Jesus sanctifies, set himself apart, separates himself to be transformed. And I gave you the example of the caterpillar, how it climbs up in the oak tree and it sanctifies itself. See, that's not something God does for the caterpillar. He put it in the caterpillar to get to the tree. Now it's up to the caterpillar to go to the tree. Y'all missed that one because, see, God not going to blow the caterpillar over to the tree and then hang it up there on the limb. No, the caterpillar has a part. And this part is to sanctify itself. The born-again believer, most believers have issues because they have never sanctified themselves. It's a word that we don't know how to use in church anymore. It's sanctification. Where you stop dealing with the stuff the way you used to deal with it. and you come out from it. But we still try to hang out with our old buds and everybody that we used to know. We keep going back over there. But it's stealing faith from you. And it's creating this lack of development. There has to be a season where you set yourself apart until you get rooted and anchored in the things of God. You can't keep participating in the same stuff. Sonship is at stake. You got to draw yourself away from it. I don't care how good they've been to you. Some people you just can't be around because they require too much of you. You got to learn how to love you so you can be by yourself with you. You don't need a whole army of people to make you feel special. You just need to get in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So don't forget, sonship is a divine position. It is not a gender. Just like mother, father, sister, daughter, brother, son, these are not names. These are positions. My name is Diana. I am a daughter. Daughter is my position in the family. But that's not my name. Ooh, y'all missed that one. That's not who I am recognized. Daughter is simply my position. But that's not what my parents named me. How many of y'all caught that one? So all these positions, what they do is that they give us the right, say the right, to interact in family. As a daughter, I got the right to interact in my family. As a son, I got a right to interact with my God. Woo, Jesus. Anybody learning? See, sons are important to God. Listen, for what God desires to do in a family, in a city, in a state, or in a nation requires sons who know that they are sons. And most believers don't know that they are sons. They still believe they are servants. And God's having a great conflict with that because he can't get you out of servant mode. You're going to have to throw yourself out of servant mode. That's not a job for God. You got to pull yourself out of that. I know we've been trained really, really, really been trained in being a servant. And there's nothing wrong with serving people. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about slave mentality. Because that's what it reduces down to, is a slave mentality. Because we don't want to renew our mind to sonship. Look at Psalms 145. And let me show you what God says about sons. And we got to know that we're a son and we're not afraid to assume responsibility in the family. I believe the reason a lot of people don't develop because they're afraid that God will ask them to do something they don't want to do. That's a dumb reason not to do all what God called you to do. Because if he needs you to do it, that means you got the ability to do it. He didn't call me to be a psalmist. Now, I can sing a tad bit. I carry my own tune. But I'm not a psalmist. I know where I'm anointed. But inside of us, he told all of us to make a joyful noise. All of us can do that. You can get praise and worship, and it sounds glorious to God. But don't stand up here trying to sing when you can't sing. Because that is not pleasing. Not to the hearer and not to God. See, it's time for sonship when you step up here. Anointed sons become psalmists. That's not my calling. Now, if Pastor had to step in there for a moment, I believe God would anoint me for that season. But that's not where I'm, that's not my calling. All right. But look what he said in Psalms 145. Look at verse 8. I'm reading this out the Passion Translation. You are kind and tenderhearted to those who don't deserve it. This is what God thinks about you as a son, and very patient with people who fail you. Your love is like a flooding river, overflowing its banks with kindness. God, everyone sees your goodness, for your tender love is blended into everything you do. This is what God sees about us. This is how God is not looking for a way to get rid of you. He's looking a way for you to grow up. Everything you have made will praise you, fulfilling its purpose. And all your godly lovers or your godly sons will be found bowing before you. They will tell, who's going to tell? His godly lovers and his sons. They will tell the world of the lavish splendor of your kingdom and preach about your limitless power. Have you seen that lately? Have you done that lately? He said that's the job of the son, is to do what? Share his lavish splendor and preach about his limitless power. When last time you did that? Oh, and look at verse 12. It says, and they would demonstrate, and they would demonstrate. Talking about sons. And they would demonstrate for all to see your miracles of might and reveal the glorious majesty of your kingdom. When was the last time God did a miracle through you? That's part of your sonship. You're supposed to hide away from that responsibility. Because that is showing God's love to somebody else. Not just walking up to somebody and patting them on the back and saying, the Lord love you, with no power. We're supposed to demonstrate. Oh. Verse 13, you are the Lord who reigns over your never-ending kingdom. We're part of a kingdom, people, through all the ages of time and eternity. You are faithful to fulfill every promise you've made. You manifest yourself as kindness in all you do. So see, God expected sons to be revealed him. God is expecting us to reveal him. God is expecting us to reveal him. There's nothing else left that can reveal him like us. The animals can reveal him one way, but they can't reveal God the way we were designed to reveal God. Turn to Luke 15, verse 11. Messed up. Luke 15 and verse 11. I know we read this one, but you know the word is still applicable because it's pregnant. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Are you there? Luke 15, 11. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them. Say them. You need to underline that. Because we don't ever stress the them. His living. So now the youngest son comes to the father and says to him, Father, don't you think it's time to give me the share of my inheritance or my estate? So the father went ahead and he distributed. Not just to the one son, because when you hear most preaching, they never tell you that the second son got his inheritance too. At the same time. Say at the same time. So two sons got their inheritance at the same time. Oh, it's coming clear. Watch this verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted, say wasted, his substance with riotous living. Okay, so now we see there comes a famine after Wynette sells. So he takes his money and he goes out and venture out. But you would have think the dad would have been upset that he was taking his inheritance and going out. But you know, the dad was not upset. Watch this. Now, what the son did not please the father. But the fact that he went out to learn, say discover. Because it was still about him discovering himself as a son. You can live in a house with two good parents and still not recognize yourself as a son. Because your influence is telling you, well, you know, your dad and mom, you know, hey, they died. And I'm sure the servants that was around the son, they were telling him, they influenced him. He hadn't been nowhere. So the servants brought him all the gossip and told him everything that was happening out there and made it look good. And he wanted to try it. And the father discovered that it was better to let him go so he could find out who he really is. Woo, Jesus. I'm trying not to get ahead of my point. Watch this. Verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Don't that money run out real quick when the people help you spend your money? It's kind of like my kids, they do me. Mama, let's go to dinner. Oh, my dime, not on there. They know how to plan your money. Now, most time I tell them, come on, let's go. But when they do suggest it, I'm going like, okay, who paying? He said, one of my kids said, they don't know what I'm talking about. It's okay, because see, they match kids, and I love them. It doesn't matter who paying. I just want to know if I got to pay. Tell me in advance if I got to pay. It doesn't matter. So the father wasn't upset. Just like I'm not upset whether I got to pay or I'm not paying. I'm going to eat. You get the picture? So I'm not upset when they suggest dinner. We laugh about it. I just want to know who paying. I want you to hear the tone that I'm saying this with. Because we have made this seem like the dad was upset, the son ran away, and it was all about the son that left. No, it was two sons involved in this. Now, there's a famine that's going on. And now this son is beginning to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen. Now, he become a citizen of a foreign country. He knew he shouldn't have done that. And then in that country, they're not going to treat you like you did in your father's house. You ain't nobody in the world. I don't know why y'all trying to hold on to the world. They ain't going to treat you like you that when you say you born again and you trying to hang on to them old sinners. They're not going to handle you right. They see you as stupid. Here you are living with God and you decide you're going to hang out with them. They know you don't. And they're going to take you for every dime you got. And when you get broke, they're going to send you on your way. Now, where was all the friends the son had when they was partying? When they were sleeping around? Where are all the friends now? The money ran out. Okay. Now, he joined himself to a strange nation. And they gave him a job feeding pigs. Now that's a low job for a rich son. That's a great fall down. Let me tell you something. When you used to living in the lifestyle of lavish, and then you got to end up feeding the pig, and you want to eat what the pigs eat because you're so hungry. How many of y'all know pigs eat almost anything? I ain't messing with nobody ham today. Keep right on enjoying your ham. But pigs eat almost anything. They didn't get that name for no reason. But it says, look at verse 16. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And said, no man gave unto him. Now he's gone from not from rags to riches. He went from riches to less than rags. He ain't got no home. He ain't got no money. He ain't looking good. He ain't smelling good. And he eating what the pigs eat. But he was a son. He's a son. Ooh, Jesus. Look at verse 17. And when he came to himself. And when he came to himself, he said, who said it? He said, how many hired what? Servants. So servants and sons can't be the same. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And here I'm starving to death. A son starving to death. David said, I've been young and I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Why are we out here acting like we got to be in the soup line? Because it look a little tight. What we should be doing is preparing to have something to help people when things get really, really rough out there, because it's going to get rough for a moment. It won't last like that, but it's going to get rough for a moment. And people are going to need the church. Are you preparing? I'm getting ready to rent a storage unit so we can put some food in there. Because people are going to need us. I said people are going to need sons. And we can't be in the same position as them. And help them. I remember when we were in the building, we had more people coming there when we had the distribution of food. Minister Joe and Regina can tell you. We had more people driving up in luxury cars simply because the food was free. They didn't need it, but they were willing to take from somebody that really needed it just to say they got free food. It was crazy. We just shut it down. I said, I'm not going to feed selfish people and provide food in their freezer when they probably already got freezer full of food that they're not even going to cook. And this will probably just add to it and go bad. When there was somebody that would have come that needed it, we could have given those that really needed more. But the greedy ones were grabbing all the good stuff. I'm not lying. Y'all think I'm playing. We had to shut it down for that reason. It wasn't right. So then we started saying, let's find families that need help. We're not going to promote it the way we were doing it. Because selfish people come just because it's free. And it's selfish to come and get a free turkey when you can buy a turkey. Oops, I hit somebody Thanksgiving. I'm just helping you. See, real sons, they're not looking for everything to be free. Now, if somebody want to give you a turkey, praise the Lord. But you shouldn't be running around from church to church trying to figure out where all the free turkeys are being passed out at Thanksgiving. Go buy yourself a turkey. You probably got three turkeys from somebody lying. Going to that church and that church, and then your church passed out turkeys, and everybody in the church got a turkey. That's not pleasing to God when you're giving that stuff like that to people that's not doing any work. That is not pleasing God. All we're doing is feeding greedy people. You get up and go to work, now you're worthy of a turkey. I'll buy you a turkey myself. Woo. Now we see that this son, he's already humiliated because the fall from sonship in his mind, say in his mind, he had fallen from sonship down to less than a servant. Say it was in his mind. Oh my God. Look at verse 18. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. So he's already communicating on the inside of himself. He sees what he's going to say to his father, and now he's rehearsing it because it's very humiliating to go back after leaving in such a splendor and pomp. You know, you got to, hey, I'm a hot shot. I got money. And then you got to come back to the same dad. But I want you to see the heart of the father. He says in verse 19, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy what? Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Let me go to my notes. Just because you think like a slave does not mean that's who you are. This is why we must renew our mind, because our minds have been inundated with slavery thinking. Work hard and you get ahead. The Bible didn't say that. Ain't nothing wrong with working a good job and doing your very best that pleases the Father. That's not what I'm against. But most people believe that's how you succeed in life. That's not true. You can work hard on a job for 40 years and never get ahead because of the way you think. You'll die leaving nothing but a pension. You would have never accumulated any wealth. Whoa, Jesus. I know. Y'all can handle it. In this group, y'all can handle it. Y'all used to it. Y'all can handle this. You're seasoned veterans. See, we're not supposed to leave a pension as the dowry for our children. We're supposed to leave a legacy. Y'all 401s that y'all got, how many of y'all know that when you get through and you go to leave your job, that 401, okay, it looked like you got $100,000 in there. That's not yours. So don't even get happy. You're not going to see $100,000. Because by the time the job get through taking back what they said they were going to give you, they're not going to give you all what they gave you. They say it, they promise. They lie. And the government get its part. You do good to walk away with 45. You say, what? Of course, didn't you know? Didn't you read the fine print? They add the money because that's how they make money off your money. And then when it's time for you to leave, they take their part back. Read the fine print. They're not dumb. I'd rather open a bank account and put money in there and trust myself to save it or give me a CD or something. I ain't never like 401s. I know, don't nobody write me no angry letters. But they were never set up for your benefit. They were set up for the company's benefit. They don't offer you a savings plan unless it's something in it for them. Don't nobody want to manage your savings. For nothing. You got to think above the world. Woo, Jesus. So he says, just because you think like a slave does not mean that's who you are. So when you go through something and you fail a time or two, the first thing that the devil challenges you is your sonship. He wants to make you feel like you disqualify yourself from the word working on your behalf. He begins to pick at your sonship until he gets you down where you don't think like God at all. Ooh, Jesus. But we got a high priest according to Hebrews 4, 14 and 16. You have to turn, I'm going to read it for you real quick. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to become professional sons. It says Jesus, the Son of God. That was stressed there. Oh, because it's telling us what we can do like a son. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He says, okay, you can be tempted. I was challenged. Say, everybody going to be challenged. Say it again. Everybody going to be challenged. So don't think it's strange. He says, let us therefore come boldly. Say boldly. Unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in help in time of need. That's how you do as a son. You don't run away. You go. Ah, Jesus. So now we see. So we are to come before God as sons and not beggars seeking a handout. You don't get response from God like that. Just because your feelings hurt or your heart broken or you've been through a tough time. No, you got to go boldly and seek help. Say, Daddy, I'm coming to you because I don't know. And you, Lord, you know what that person's intent was. I'm not even going to discuss it like that because you're my answer. And I know you're my hope. You're my joy. And I'm going to lay it aside and I'm going to forgive them. And in your presence, I'm asking you to strengthen me to deal with whatever I have to deal with. You could go say, oh, Daddy. They just, that no count person, they just hurt my feelings on purpose. And I'm so hurt, I'm so broken. And you're going to say, oh, Jesus, who you been talking to? That's not what a son does. Oh, yes, the pain is real. People hurt you intentionally. It's real. The pain you feel is real. We're not denying that people hurt you. I'm telling you how to go to God to get it fixed. I know it's strange because we want to cry. That's the first inclination is to cry. But he said, come boldly. Come boldly. As a son, come boldly, knowing that you have a right to come to me. And I'm not going to deny you because you're coming boldly. Mm. Now go down to verse 22. No, let's keep finished. He says in verse 19, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, now he already rehearsed his speech, right? Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father just interrupted him as though he had... And the father, look at verse 22. But the father said to hold on. No, the father said to the son. He called what? His servants. Those who were hired to work for him. He says, but the father said to his servants, but sons are partners, co-equal with Jesus. We got a stake in it. Servants are hired to do a specific job. They don't have the benefits that sons do. Woo, Lord help me, Jesus. And the father said to his servants, go get the robe. Get that best robe, that one we've been tucking away for the guests when they come. Put it on him and put a ring on his hand. Okay, he lost the ring that he initially had. And put some shoes back on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my, who? No. Your servant, Lord. This my son was dead and is alive again. He said, now I got a real son. He discovered that he's really a son. Even though he came back trying to act like a servant, daddy said, okay, now you're pliable. I can teach you. A lot of stuff we went through because we weren't pliable when God was trying to train us. So he had to let you go through a little stuff that you put yourself through, really, so you can become pliable. You have to become pliable to become a son, because it's going to take some molding and some shaping, and it's going to take some turning, and it's going to take some shifting. You got to rewrite some of the stuff that you learned incorrectly. You might have to change some of your habits. But when you want to be a son, you become pliable. And watch this. Now the older son was in the field, a field servant. That's the way he saw himself. I ain't gonna read all this. But the older son, his mindset was no better than the youngest son. They both saw themselves as servants. One stayed at home and one went out and got broken, but he became pliable. And the father wasn't angry with either one of them, but he was displeased more with the second one than he was with the first one. Watch this. The older son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants. Now he recognized that he was, now see, in the house, you can act like the son. Say in the house. We act like sons. But when you go to your house, are you a son or a servant? I ask your spouse in just a moment. Whichever one you might be. Okay. He says, and he asked the servant, what is happening? What are these things? And he said unto him, thy brother is come. I can see him now. What brother? I ain't got no brother. He dead. And thy father have killed the fatted calf. Now see, that angered him, that the daddy would take the best calf, say the best calf, and kill it. Because now you're receiving him safe and sound. Ooh. And look at it, verse 20. And he was angry. And he was angry. This was just not an ordinary upset. Well, why he coming back now? He must be broke. No, he was angry. He was perturbed and would not go in. He wouldn't even go in the house. He wasn't even going to say hello to his brother. Therefore, the father had to come out and entreat him. Oh. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I what? Serve thee. There's that servant mindset. He says, one translation says, and I'm going to read it the way it says. The way it says, he said, the older son came in and began to refuse to go in. But so his father came out and pleaded with him to come in and enjoy the feast with us. But the son said, father, listen, how many years have I been working like a slave for you, performing every duty you've asked as a faithful son? He says, but see, he's using the term son, but he thinks like a slave. And I've never once disobeyed you, but you've never thrown a party for me because of my faithfulness. Now, never once have you even given me a goat, and I didn't talk about the calf, that I could feast on and celebrate with my friends like you're doing for this guy now. He forgot he had his inheritance too. He could have had a party time he wanted to. He got money. You remember back in verse 12? Both of them got their inheritance. He decided to stay in the house and complain. He could have moved out. I know some of y'all parents glad when your kids left home. Now you can spend your money like you want to. But the father wasn't like that. Oh, the father trying to get this older son to see that he's really a son, but he never came into it. Why? And that must have displeased the father more than the younger son going out doing something dumb and coming back and being restored. Because the older son never accepted sonship. He wasn't pliable. He was angry. He was angry that the brother left. Watch this. Let me get to my notes. See, he was angry and a whole lot jealous of the younger son. Jealous will keep you from becoming a son because you think somebody have reached something that you ought to have. He was too afraid. Say, too afraid. It made me think of Matthew 25, where the one servant took the talent and hid it because he was fearful. So this son took what God gave, what the father gave him. He hid it. He wouldn't even spend it, not even on himself. He had his inheritance. He could have had a party, but he didn't want to spend his money. He was afraid of losing his inheritance when that's not what it was for. It's supposed to be utilized. God was more pleased with the youngest son, because he went out and did something. He learned something. He learned not to be stupid. That meant more than sitting home thinking you all that and a bag of chips and you ain't nothing. Think because you in the house with the father doing nothing. He said, but I've been working like a slave. Daddy didn't ask him to do all of that. That was something he took on himself. How many of y'all got stuff you doing that God ain't told you to do yet? You waste a lot of energy and time. You don't know if God wants you to do all that stuff. You just take it on. When the next time you go ask the Lord, and then you start complaining when your body breaking down and you're tired and you can't even stay focused. You need to ask the Lord, am I doing everything you need me to do? Or am I just doing because I see this one? Okay, I can do that. Oh, yeah, that looks like it's working for them. I can do that. We just add and add and add till we work ourselves into a fragile point. And you still ain't doing what God told you to do. The daddy didn't ask him to go to work in the field. He's a son. He doesn't have to. Oh, Jesus. I'm trying to get y'all to get this lavish mindset. Because y'all working a lot, you losing a lot of energy trying to be somebody else that you're not. Come on. So I'm going to close with this. The image or the inside picture you have of yourself is determining right now who you are, whether you're a servant or you're a son. It's how you see yourself on the inside. And I know what that's like because I grew up thinking that I wasn't pretty and I wasn't that. And I couldn't, and I would stumble over I didn't stutter, but, and I was really smart in school. I wasn't the dumbest kid in the room. But nobody knew it most time because I wouldn't tell it. I wouldn't talk, I wouldn't say nothing. But I would pass my test at 100, got A's as a rule. And I would leave school and go home, take a book, get in my little corner, and read. Not because that's all I wanted to do, but I was being governed by fear. Fear that I wouldn't be accepted just for who I was. Turn me into somebody that I didn't want to be. It's that picture you got of yourself that is damaging your sonship. So you need to change the image. Because a lot of times the stuff you asking to be fixed will be fixed when you get that image on the side of you fixed. Because I can give you every formula in the Bible, and it'll work. But if you don't see yourself doing it, it's not going to work. You got to come in agreement, say in agreement, with a word. And you first got to agree, I'm a son. And I'm going to move towards sonship. Did you learn a thing this morning? Hallelujah, hallelujah.